for what he did do. He killed himself. But it does puzzle me that a district attorney would dignify such. They're also trying, they're accusing in the press the Los Angeles coroner, who I never met, nor do I know, nor do I suppose anyone in this church knows him, accusing him of being in conspiracy with us to conceal the true reason of this man's death. Well, I tell you, that is frightening. Even though we will be vindicated if there's any semblance of reason left in the society, because we had nothing whatsoever to do with his committing suicide. And I don't know how they hope, by the widest stretch of their imagination, to achieve anything that would portray us in a bad light, other than that they're perhaps trying to sensationalize and cause more disunity in the South, in Los Angeles. It's interesting, it's that our Los Angeles correspondent reports, and when our attorney Charles Gary checked it out, it was killed off the same old character. He wasn't the Los Angeles correspondent at all. He's just a reporter in San Francisco. And it came in further investigation, revealed that he is the one that demanded an investigation of the coroner. And now they've come up with some new letter that this young man is supposed to have written before he died, a suicide note, and they are accusing the coroner of concealing that letter. I'm going to tell you, that's very eerie. Very eerie. If there's a letter, it's probably manufactured, because the coroner would have had no reason to conceal anything, in that he didn't know us and we didn't know him. He isn't a socialist, and we wouldn't have never been involved in anything even remotely connected with murder. So I don't know what possible thing they have in mind. I'm too honest to even be able to explore their devious mind. But it seems that they are so anxious to reflect on us that they're willing to pull down a coroner with them. Interesting enough, the coroner is Asiatic, as I recall, isn't he? Asiatic. So it all figures in the configuration, I guess. So that's the news topic tonight. We have had silence in the news until today. And now we are being said this district attorney opening the case of a young man that once was with People's Temple. Whereas the actual fact was, the district attorney is being pressured by one Marshall Kildoff, and he said, friends, the district attorney told one of our contacts. Goodness knows who those friends are. I remember that the head of the Jewish Community Relations Council said that she had information one time that he had Nazi connections, and then came up with the Nazi name of Kleinman, who we have found to be one of the principal sources of all of this. Kleinman, who lives in a big estate in Sonoma County and is surrounded by spotlights and a fence about 8 foot high and all sorts of vicious dogs. What he is trying to conceal in that mansion, little do we know. But we can very much suspect. But he has absolute Nazi connections, so we're told. And no one seems interested in that. No one seems interested in printing that whatsoever. Except Sun Reporter in our own paper. No one had been true and loyal through this entire ordeal except Dennis Banks. He again pledged last evening that he was willing to do anything that we needed. And we told him that we wanted him to get to freedom. So I told you that I would let you know the good with the bad. I don't know particularly what this is. I don't suppose we've gotten on the road to fascism to such a degree that they could frame us in reference to a dead man who commits suicide. But if it's a fascist state, then anything can be done. And usually is done. Did someone discuss the Rosenberg case before I got here? All right. That's a good example. Where someone that couldn't even draw as well as a sixth grader some replica of a atomic bomb from 5 years of memory, and supposedly, even in spite of AE, Atomic Energy Commission reports that no secrets had enabled the Soviets to build their bomb. Nothing that the United States had revealed, or any secrets that came out of the United States in any way, shape, or form had contributed to the building of the bomb. Nonetheless, they put the Rosenbergs in jail based on a sketch out of a man's mind that was never shown, allowed to be revealed to the public. And only given camera view, which meant that the attorneys subsequently could not even appeal the case. For the sake of Americans, North Americans, I hope we're not headed for that kind of era. Because it got so dangerous that when the Rosenbergs went to their death and clasped their precious babies, 11 and 12-year-old children, I think they were younger than that. I'm a little vague on that, but they were very young, reaching through that net of fence, not to clasp them. They couldn't clasp them. They put their hands up. I shall never forget the clutch. With the clutch of love, the desire to touch, and could not reach through to touch their children. Neither could they reach through to touch each other as they parted and were taken down that lonely road to the gas, to the electric chair. Persecuted, prosecuted, and murdered without a scintilla, not a shred of evidence. No attorney would represent them. No left group would associate with them. Even the Communist Party USA disassociated itself from them, and they stood alone, with the exception of one incompetent, Emanuel Bloch, a civil attorney who had never been, before as I remember, involved in criminal litigation. And he stood up before the court and the jury, which would obviously prejudice anyone against the defendants. He said, "I'm a patriotic American first, and the defense attorney for these two secondly," which would imply somehow that his role as a patriotic American was being somehow jeopardized by defending these two. One of the most damaging things he did in that dark era of the MacArthur period was to not use normal appeal processes, or to render objections that were absolutely damaging to the Rosenbergs. And the judge, even Kaufman, who was a bigot himself, introduced his thought. He said, "This is an unusual stance for a defense attorney." He said, "Not in view of my situation and the circumstances," which was, again, a statement from their own defense attorney's mouth, enough to hang them. That was the MacArthur era. Some of you forget it, and some of you are so blasé, you don't think it'll ever happen again. Some of you think you can go on back to life and its routine, and somehow you could eat your McDonald's hamburgers and go swimming, golfing, or whatever, and not be affected by that. And I find that most peculiar to me, how anyone could dream in a society that's already proven that we are on the very, at best, the edge of a MacArthur era, at the worst, the middle of one, when we are now faced with a young man who left our church, ridiculed and blasphemed this cause and my own principle, and then his own conscience destroyed him and caused him to leap off of a building. And how you can possibly connect that suicide to murder is a shocking consideration. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying very hard to suggest that we, as a church, were involved in the murder of this young man when he was a suicide. As I say, now they accuse a coroner who didn't know him from Adam's off ox, and who I never knew, and no one in our church knew, unless you knew him on your own. try and accuse him of concealing a letter. Very interesting that a letter would emerge now. What is it, 2 years he's been past? Very interesting that a letter all of a sudden emerges, and this Asiatic coroner is supposed to suppress this evidence. Now, you know that's bullshit. No coroner would take the risk of suppressing any kind of evidence. If we were his friends, if he was a socialist, if he were paid, that kind of loyalty I've never seen, except for me. And being that he wasn't a socialist and we didn't know him and he would have no possible reason to try to conceal anything that would reflect on people's temple, then they must be some sophisticated thing that they've manufactured. It'll be interesting to see what's in that letter. That letter that wasn't found 2 years ago, but now all of a sudden comes up. Conveniently. Again, it's going to be interesting to see how they put that body and any member of people's temple together. Looks like we should have some day in court, although maybe they're counting on us being so maligned that we won't be back there to defend ourselves. And trying to frighten off our supporters by making us murderers. And I'll bet that some of you have relatives that will believe it. I'll bet that many of you have relatives that will believe it. I saw some black bitch, if you'll excuse the letters I was going over. I go over the letters coming in and going out. Some black bitch writing someone, Sister Bell, from New York. Black bitch. And she said, I read the negative things about your church in New York Times. And I thought, when does a black person ever believe anything that a white goddamn newspaper has to say? We've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten where we come from. And the New York Times article was one of the great masquerades of all time because the man that wrote the article wrote a very decent article. And the owners took his article and twisted it and put in things they wanted. And he even, with some conscience, tried to show what he really had done by releasing his original article through New York Times Service, which appeared in such papers as the Press Democrat, and was really a very laudatory article, praising me for being a Marxist, bringing out mother's quotations about me, and it was a very decent article. But by the time it left the reporter's hands and got to the New York Times owners, which is supposed to be one of those fair, liberal newspapers, like some of you are still in this church, you're liberal socialists. You are liberal socialists who are Saturday night revolutionaries who want to play around and do your thing all the rest of the days and can talk about a future, goddammit, when we're living in the midst of fascism. I'm not talking about a revolutionary future. I'm talking about a self-indulged future. Talking about doing your thing. A whole lot of folk do that. Jan Govich was telling me about her dad, who's Jewish, Russian Jew, but hates Jews. Tells her how bad Jews were. Used to read to her how lowly only people that were pure were the white Christian, the white Anglo-Saxons. And she would read from books to her, telling her about the supremacy of the white race. And I heard that sellout Jew on the phone patch the other night. And I thought, well, if a Jew could do this, Jesus Christ knows what those Jesus Christ followers would do. Those white, good Christians would do. He made racial statements even there and referred to this work of this black country in a demeaning way. And so cold and so calculating and so capitalistic. And they always accuse us communists of using the end justifies the means rationale. He was so low down that he told her that her mother was dying of cancer. Then it didn't work because I said, demand the medical authenticity, that it be authenticized, that it be medically verified. Well, asked me to verify anything. And she said, you're doubting. I said, well, sure, he's doubting your word. He was questioning her all along the road. She certainly had a right to question him. Well, her mother wasn't dying of cancer because today there's a telegram from Mama. the fear treatment didn't work, and the threat treatment didn't work, and the death treatment. These fucking no-good sons of bitching capitalists, they're always talking about what communists will do, and they're the lowest down pricks ever walked, because they'll do it just to manipulate their own family to do what they want, for no moral reasons, for no purpose, no good, no decency. They'll just lie. That's a terrible thing to tell a child that their mother's dying of cancer. Maria Katsaris had the same thing. Good preacher, minister, father said that he was dying of cancer. Please come home. But when she wouldn't come home, and I said I knew that he wasn't dying of cancer, just as I knew Mrs. Gervich wasn't in the state that he suggested, when she said no, he came all the way to Georgetown to try to raise hell. That's a lively cancer patient. It's a wicked, wicked world. I don't know what any of you would want to think of going back into Western society, our Western creature comforts, and attempt to enjoy the benefits of a bourgeois society. It seems very, rather sickening to me, appallingly sickening to me, that some in this very ranks could think about enjoying the benefits of capitalism when it means that all around you, blacks and Jews, minorities, and a Japanese or an Asiatic corner can be hung right along with us. And he's apolitical. I think he's a Republican. But anything to get us, they'll make a difference who they have to walk over. Say, I'm clean. I've been a communist. My relatives are clean. Yeah, but if they're black, they're just like he and Asiatic, they'll use them, destroy them. Don't make a difference who they have to destroy as long as they're trying to get a people's temple. A coroner who had made a good success and thought he probably had it made, but his name's being made mud right this very moment in the press. We don't mind because we expect it to be made mud. We'd be mighty discouraged if these sons of bitches were saying good things about us. I told you for years, everybody's raving, oh, it's wonderful, good story, good story. I said, no, it's not really a compliment. You better get yourself moored in, geared in, because you're going to get such bad press, you will never see the light when they turn loose on us. I warn you, I told you that was coming long before it came. Well, how many times I've prophesied and people forget it. It's interesting these people try to make us out now thieves. I take people's property. And yet here we have $3-4 million worth of property sitting here before we ever got here. Now, anyone with their right mind, if the American people were thinking, they wouldn't buy that bullshit, but they're not thinking. How can a man be a thief when he's put $3-4 million into a beautiful community of buildings and medical traffic, medical facilities, and all the things that you have here, farm implements, tractors, the innumerable host of tools and instruments that you can't begin to weigh the value? If I said $3-4 million, perhaps $5 million U.S., now, if I was dishonest, why wouldn't I have taken that $5 million and gone off to Monte Carlo? Why in the fuck would I be down here listening to 700 people's problems, watching their aggravation, seeing how so many of them don't consider anything I do but want to steal and cheat from one another and rob and do everything dishonorable? Why in the hell would I endure 700 and then worry about feeding 700 when most dads will run off when they got 7 to feed, by God? You know, anybody that was thinking at all, anybody had an ounce of insect intelligence would know goddamn right that Jim Jones was a good man, that this is bullshit. If you don't take 700 people clear across the world and locate them in a lovely community and pay every one of their expenses and feed them every goddamn day and be a thief, no thief ever acts that way. You're so wonderful. But the American public is so apathetic and so stupid and so brainwashed and so programized, they accuse us of being programized. Shit, they're the ones that are programized. They're programized to such a degree that they justify any goddamn thing that the government does and the newspapers do. Makes no difference. They're in a terrible shape. Bullshit. Some man, I was reading some article, I don't know which magazine it was, about someone that had spoken out against the Bible. And Jesus Christ, he lost his, he was called before the teacher's credentialing body and lost his teacher's license. A loan was suddenly called due from the bank. It's someplace in Illinois. And all he said that the Bible was a bunch of superstition. And they went after his ass. And I mean, they nailed him and finally had him charged with some sort of pornographic, not obscene reference, on a media. Just because he called the Bible some damn foolishness or something like that. I don't know the exact quote, damn foolishness. And the man is simply being broken financially and everything because he touched the great totem. They talk about us being programmed. We don't believe in bullshit gods. We don't believe in this. But they are so programized that if you say anything against their fucking Mother Mary, are you the blood of Jesus? You just don't say anything about that because that's sacred. And how can anyone ever believe such foolishness except they be programized? How can anyone ever believe in a loving God when two out of three babies are starving to death? Jesus Christ, before the Chinese Communist Revolution, 11 out of 13 children, average of 13 children in the family, only 11 would survive. Out of every 1,000 births, the moment the baby was born, malnutrition was so severe in the mother that 332 died. 33% died at birth and before they got to 7 years of age. 11 out of 13 were dead. The Seventh-day Adventist missionary's child rebelled against the shackles of religion and spoke on it a couple of days ago, telling about how she'd watch her dad would take her to the steeple and knock down Chinese from getting into the steeple of the American church that was established in Hunan province, would knock them down. And she watched. She watched with her own eyes 100,000 people drown, and she watched with her own eyes as a seven-year-old children and older people grabbing on the dike and climbing up on the dike, and another 30 to 40,000 starved to death on that dike, and her dad would never move out of the steeple but stand there and pray. Talk about us being programized. He's a programized. I'd like to cut the throats of that goddamn religious bunch. And all those who have any vestige of religion, be whatever form it is, I don't care what kind of form it may be, you have various names and you call a Christ force and mystical force and meditative, contemplative bullshit, all that. How in the fucking hell you could believe that there's anything in, unique in us that is of any spiritual worth? How you could believe this? Damn stupid programization, bullshit brainwashing that's come from the system. The only value we can build for ourselves is through a socialist society and then step it up to a communist society. Otherwise, there's no difference between us and the beetle out there. The flies that get batted down. All the other precious animals that run through the jungles and then be preyed upon all the days of their life. You're no different than a goddamn animal. I'm no different than a goddamn animal. That's why we should not put ourselves up to such importance as we do. That's the only problems ever you have. You really, really feel sorry for your fucking self. You feel sorry you don't have what you thought you did have. You got so much more. You got 700 people to fight for you. I don't need 700 people to fight for me. Sometime, someplace, I don't care where you were, even if McCarthyism wasn't returning to America, even if fascism wasn't returning to America, someplace down in lonely America, you need somebody to fight for you. And if you'd lived there, you'd have had nobody. Now you got 700 comrades that'll stand up and fight with you. Interesting. that anyone can deceive themselves into believing that you deserve better, even if you have better. When I get to feeling sorry for myself, and believe me, it would be easy for me to feel sorry for myself. How very easy it would be for me to feel sorry for myself. Some of you do get to go to rest at night, and you have only a department or a bit of a program. I've got the whole goddamn thing resting on me and cannot sleep because I don't know what's going to break loose in some part of the camp. Hear a clap of thunder, wonder if it's a gun. Because I'm such a vivid realist. Ah, you're too realistic, yeah? Well, if I hadn't been so realistic, some of your asses had rotted in jail. Peace. If I had not been so apprehensive and willingly paranoid, some of you would have been in lots of trouble. I assume paranoia when I am the least paranoid of all, because I don't give a shit who slips up on behind my back at any time. I don't give a goddamn. That's one reason I just don't like people around me. They want to put petitions around me. I don't give a shit who blows my brains out. At least one moment I'd like to have a little air. A little air. If the shut doors and windows and shutters, I'll die of a heart attack with that kind of shit. So I'll take my risk that somebody will blow my head open. It doesn't bother me, because one who is a zero doesn't have paranoia. I don't give a shit what people do to me. But I give loads and loads and tons of care about what they do to you. So I am so paranoid that nothing gets by this old hawk. I don't miss it. You think you pull your bullshit games? And you think I don't have a right to test you in 50,000 ways? I'll test you. Because I'm concerned about you, I'm concerned about saving everyone here, I'm concerned about the children, and I'll test you and I'll watch you. If you've made a mistake, I'll watch you. And I don't apologize for it. And you think I'm not watching you, and I'm watching you every minute. Every minute. Because I owe that to the collective. But watch you, if you're going to do something to me, no, never, never. Other than the fact that it affects this great family. With all of its faults, I saw us with a battle cry. I saw us when the camp was encircled. I saw you willingly put up your hands and say, I will defend Dennis Banks even though it means more trouble. I will protect this child even though it may mean our life. I shan't forget that many willingly and enthusiastically voted and tearfully mixed their tears with mine, full well not believing that tomorrow would ever come. Some of you it was play, but to some of us it was goddamn real. Peace. About this circle so many times, I thought I cannot look at my people again, and yet I want them to feel comforted as much as possible, dragging my body like it was a ton of bricks, every joint feeling like it was made of cement. But I wanted you to know that your father was near. What is it? Yes, yes. Wanting you to know that I'm going to be with you to the end. And we thought that. And we felt that end so heavy upon us. I told you long ago, I promised never to leave you, and never to leave you alone. And so I was keeping that promise as we wandered through daylight hours and night hours, keeping a camp, not knowing when someone was going to break in. And we came so close to dying, if just two officers had come up that driveway, Some of you ever got to meet us here. That's how close it was. Because we had been shot at. We had been photographed. We had had shots rain through here in the broad daylight. We'd had too much hell going on. We had no contact with anybody in government. All the good leaders were gone. And sons of bitches were coming in out of here, nailing stuff on our walls, heckling us, interrogating us, and even pulling our children aside and interrogating them. We had had it. And if one person that last night had walked up that goddamn lane, if they'd have come up there, they'd have stayed a long time. I mean, we'd have kept them. But fortunately, people trusting Father's mind and spirit and his principles somehow kept that one almost fatal thing from happening, because they were determined they were going to come by broken tractors. They were going to come in here. They were going to see Bishop Jones. And they can be mighty damn glad they didn't come to see Bishop Jones that day. Greatest pain of that moment was, I'd always given my life to give you peace. I wanted to give you security. I wanted to give you freedom from pressure and oppression. So I looked you in your eyes and I cried and wept. I didn't bring you here for this. I said it, I must have said it once, I said it 1,000 times. I didn't bring you here for this. Unfortunately, compassion and hope won that day. But when you love people and you love freedom and you love truth and you love a family like this dad loves his children, you never know at what moment you may have to fight for another child. I'm glad to be alive to face these challenges, because I'm a revolutionary and I have children here who are not revolutionary that I love very, very much. I love you deeply and dearly, because I know you've not gone through all the processes of suffering and pain and the learning experiences that I have that have made me a firm revolutionary. Yesterday when I announced to you, or the day before, whatever, time has no meaning to me anymore. I guess this is October. I wouldn't know and don't give a damn. But I'm not lost my consciousness. It's October 3rd going on October 4th. Anyway, when it was announced that this government, this small government, had cooperated with the United Soviet Socialist Republic, Russia, and Cuba, both of which have all kinds of military protection, this country has none. And when a few leaders in this country had cooperated with them in the attempted overthrow of the Nicaraguan hated dictatorship, my heart beat with pride. I thought, well, shit, it could mean tomorrow that the CIA would land parachutes in here, or we could be attacked across the border. But my heart beat with pride. But when I announced it, I saw it brought solemnness to some of you. But to me, it was principle. It was an opportunity, because we've seen so much of the technocrat, managerial class element in this society really not truly trying to come to a socialist solution. I wondered if that could ever really be, that they'd make that kind of a courageous stand. So I don't care how many bureaucrats we have to deal with at the low level. Matters not to me. You've got a few brave leaders like that that are willing to risk their goddamn lives. And that's all our lives are worth, not a goddamn, because chickens, some of you ought to go out and watch the chickens die every day. You'd see how important you are. You'd wonder if you were a son of God. You wouldn't last about 30 chickens and you'd stop worrying whether you were a son of God. You'd quit praying and you'd quit meditating and you'd quit all your bullshit. You wouldn't have any religious thoughts, just 130 chickens. Watch them as they look at the other chicken being carried away. Watch the panic and pandemonium that Father tries to calm as he has the children love them. And Brother Bridgewater said in agony, he said, oh, Father, that the day might come that we never had to eat meat, because he's the one that has to cut their head and lay it gently down and watch that head take a minute and a half, opening its eyes, gasping. Some of you blind, stupid, delusional, narcissistic assholes that are not zero personalities, I ought to require, and I think I shall, that everyone takes their tour of watching the chickens. Go with our children out there. Some of the children, there's one children, the Hicks child, I don't know which one of them, I believe it was, yes, this child said that he almost said it in tears. Well, it's a job that has to be done. Some of you ought to have to do it. You ought to sweat like Pop Edwards and Bridgewater. You ought to have to go down there and you ought to have to take those chickens, because you are blind. You think you're better than a chicken. But when you see the agony in those chickens' faces and you see the pandemonium in those faces as they watch a chicken being carried away, you know you're no more value than a goddamn chicken. You know it's no easier. No, it's just as simple, rather, to cut your head off. They could cut your head off just as easy as a chicken's head. I've seen bodies crushed. Good people, socialist people. I've seen them crushed, laying there in their tongue. And a human dies no differently than a chicken. Shift, please. A human doesn't die one bit different than a chicken. No different than a dog. If you've ever seen a human die, go watch that chicken die. And then you'd know that there's nothing but Father, communism, and he is communism, and there is no differential between the two. There is no separating communism from Father, and no separation of Father from communism. We will only reach to higher heights through political process, because we're creatures of the dust, we're animals. Some of you still show very clearly you're animals. You don't deserve to live any more than the chicken does. I see chickens that gather down rather than be cool and peck. They get in the corner and allow everything to stamp on it and die. And by the time they get here, even from our chicken coops, they're already crushed to death. And some of you, if I didn't tell you, you wouldn't even do a goddamn thing about it. We who have to inherit the chickens and go over there and kill them or take care of them, yet they don't even think about it unless you tell them. Pack chickens in there like a concentration camp. At least it looks to me like you could do something for those precious things before they die, to give them a little uncrowded. But every time we've had it up until now, the chickens have arrived crowded and crushed, and some of them chomped to death. Oh, well, that's different. No, it's no different. The concentration camps are just the same. Those that were decent died because they would not show themselves aggressive and harsh. They were gentle and thoughtful, and they would not fight over crumbs, and they'd not knock bodies down that they might live. They just withdrew from the battle and gave their food to somebody else. As many Jews, such as Frankl said, the best Jews died. Only the sons of bitches lived. And that's been true with a lot of you. Good people have died. Good chickens. Some of you aren't worth the value of a chicken. You cheat, you lie, you do any goddamn thing in a corner. Anytime you're up against pressure, anytime that you're really called on to show your colors, you are a motherfucker. A chicken would protect their babies quicker than you, but a little pressure comes your way and you're a goddamn miserable sellout. A chicken's got more value than you, and yet you think you've got a right to live. Well, you no good son of a bitch and motherfucker. Peace. Go tell it to the chickens the next time they come in tomorrow. While the freezers are being built up to protect you so that you can live. You go back there and tell the chickens all why you should have a good life and why you should be able to enjoy yourself and sport around. Why you should have a kitchen Why, you should be able to eat what you want. Don't tell the goddamn chickens tomorrow. I dare you. Look at them while they wait to die. And tell them how much better life you deserve. Because you die like a chicken. That chicken suffers. Its squawk of its voice continues after the head is separated from it. It's one of the most cruel, heart-rending, painful experiences. Someone said, Father, why do you put yourself through it? I said, so I can realize I'm no better than a goddamn chicken. You hear them squawk after the head is cut off, all the way while the blood is draining out. You hear that chicken crying. And they lay the head down, the eyes gasping open and shut, and its mouth going open and shut for a minute and a half of agony that you can eat. And some of you are not worth a chicken leg. You're not worth a chicken wing. You've got so much goddamn selfishness, you ought to die and let somebody eat you. Why do I say it? Why do I say it? Because I'm a partaker of it. The last thing, the easiest thing, the first thing, if you were hungry, the first thing I would do would tell them to kill me and put me in the boil me up and desalinize, take a little of the salt out, and you wouldn't know who you were eating. It's the only difference between human flesh and anything else. That'd be easy. So I'm not asking you to kill yourself any more than I'd be willing to. It'd be a simple thing, and that would be the first response if my children were hungry and they had a chance to lead themselves. You are my children. I'd say to some trusted people, please cook me. That wouldn't take any bravery at all. So quiet in here. You know, you're so far from Father. You say you know Father. You know who Father is. Bullshit. You really don't know who Father is. Because when you talk like this, everybody gets quiet. Why, you automatically, anyone here should be willing to be sacrificed that others could live if it was a matter of starvation. That would be elementary. If you were 46, you should be glad to give somebody 35 years a chance to live a little longer, because he might be able to, or she might be able to do more for the revolution. And certainly, when you're 46, no effort to think about a two-year-old. Gladly give your body, gladly whatever, shit. Be tortured, be the eyes, soul, whatever. Do you know how much I love you? You don't know. I said, Jesus died for you. Shit on Jesus. He was a miserable failure. Because I would sell my eyes, and I'd sell everything I could sell, so I could keep using my mind for you as long as I could, and I'd sell myself piece by piece that you might live. I know what I'm talking about, because I've already sold my body that you could live. I've given my body that you could live. I give my body to save you from the viciousness of one gray stone, to save Tim Stone's image. And I died a thousand deaths and then had to endure her trying to take away my son. And was willing to go through that hell. I know what I'm talking about. I don't only preach it, I live it. You say, well, you're a mutation, Jim Jones, and nobody like you. Well, child, I feel just like you do. I came from an insecure home that you didn't have, many of you. I had a cruel father who never gave me any love, and a mother that was not too affectionate, and never knew where the next meal was coming from. But I managed to give of myself to others. Please listen to me, and don't be watching other things and bugs and other things at this particular serious, sensitive time. I'd be very suspicious of you if you continue to do that. Yet out of all that agony of insecurity, I have managed to make myself controlled. I've managed to make myself secure in finding you happy. Someone was griping about some little old inconsequential goddamn thing today. And I said, you ought to think of just one person Well, I know. So what about a Billy Jones that stood and fought with a rudder? Fought with a rudder till his hand could be cut off trying to save our boat.